Welcome to Concord Matters, a show seeking for concord, agreement in Christian confession. Concord mattered to Jesus and Paul, and so it does to us also. Spend these next 60 minutes as we talk matters of concord. Concord Matters, underwritten by Brothers of John the Steadfast at steadfastlutherans.org.
Welcome on this Saturday morning, March the 30th, 29th. I'm ahead here a little bit, but we're coming up to the end of the March. We welcome you into Concord Matters, underwritten by our good friends at Brothers of John the Steadfast. Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. It's God's word that makes us agree. And it's the only thing that we should be unified on as Christians, what God has to say. And that's why we take his word so seriously, a huge diet of it, a thirst for it, a study for it. This is what this hour is about, to pray together, to seek concord, to seek agreement in what God has to say. I'm your host, Pastor Rod Zwanzer, thanking again Brothers of John the Steadfast for underwriting this program. If you go on their website, steadfastlutherans.org, you will find a wealth of things to be in concord and steadfast in God's word there. There's sermons, there's great articles, there's even a chart where you can find a confessional reading group or start one, and there's conversation about all kinds of matters. So check them out today, steadfastlutherans.org. This Concord Matters program, we wish and we hope it's became a thing for you out there, the listener, where you can feel like you're discussing Christian concord and you're just part of a big group. And so what do you do when you're in a group and you want to do a comment or ask a question? You raise your hand or just blurt out with it. And so we hope you will do that with us too. Calling us, if you're in the St. Louis listening area or you have that great plan that my wife and I do, unlimited long distance, 314-821-0850 is the number for those people. And in North America, toll free 800-730-2727, or you can email us at kfuo@kfuo.org. We'd love to have you participate with your comments or questions, so don't hesitate, don't wait to the end. Please call us. We have a group today to talk about the seventh commandment. So let's welcome them in. The Pastor Randy Blankshain, Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Pensacola, Florida. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning. Great to be with you.
What's the weather like in Pensacola this morning?
Good. I think we're going to get to about 70 degrees and sunshine. It was raining all day yesterday, though. So.
Wow. We bought a place at the Villages, Pastor, where we're going to retire, and we were looking at today, and it's going to be raining down there all day. So it looks like it moved from your area down in Central Florida. Why don't you, we have a few of your members with us today. Why don't you go around the table and let's say hi to them and introduce them, please.
Yeah, you had mentioned confessional study reading groups, and we have members from two of our studies. Our men's group is a Conlu Tre group. We're a military town, so that's short for Confessional Lutherans Training Group.
Nice.
And we have Gary Moss and Mark Stala and Rusty Becker.
Good morning.
And then we also have, from our women's group, which is CSI Pensacola, that's Confessional Sisters of Emmanuel, we have Wanda Neisonger, Cheryl Casey, her daughter Lindsay Casey, Sue Munch, and Cindy Myers.
Nice group. Sue, would you have been any relation to the famous Bob Myers?
Well, that's Cindy.
Cindy, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I think that's infamous, but yes, I am.
Well, he's renowned in a lot of parts for being such a wonderful, active layperson Lutheran. So welcome to all of you to Concord Matters today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is a first for us, and we really hope it's going to be a good experience for you and for our listener that we might repeat it. So let's jump right into it, shall we? We're going to look at the seventh commandment, and here on Concord Matters, we use CPH's Concordia of the Lutheran Confessions, the second edition. It's a reader's edition of the Book of Concord. And so here's what we have from the Small Catechism on the seventh commandment. You shall not steal. What does this mean? Answer, we should fear and love God so that we may not take our neighbor's money or property, nor get them with bad products or deals, but help him to improve and protect his property and business. Let's begin where I always like to and talk about, is there any connection with the seventh commandment and the first commandment? Anybody want to try that one on? The connection, if any, between the first commandment and the seventh commandment.
Well, I think this is a no-brainer. It's actually, I think, the easiest to connect to the first commandment, because if we steal from our neighbor, who's your God? You know, money or possessions? Who's your God? So, you know, we should love and fear God above all things. So the seventh commandment applies the best, I think.
You know, it's scary, isn't it, to think that we might be able to pull off taking someone else's possessions, and no one in the world would know, but God knows it. And so is that enough that should put some fear into us?
But yes, and I always joke with the pastor and say I'm a guilt-driven Lutheran because, you know, nobody else might know, but God knows.
I hope, though, you're guilt-driven to the cross.
Yes, of course.
That wonderfully said, wonderfully said. Well, you started us off, and why do you think that the first commandment always gets involved or should get involved with all of the other nine?
Well, I think that, this is Rusty talking, that it gets back to our trust. Who do we put our trust in? And when we don't trust in God for all things, then that leads us to a lot of different things. And in particular, we want to provide for ourselves or gain things for ourselves. We tend to steal or gain things by ways that God would not have us do. So I think that's really the connection.
Mm. So, you know, do I hear in there that if we trusted in God enough, we would firmly believe that he's going to give us all that we need in this world to carry out what he put us here for?
Yes, absolutely. I think that's really what leads us down a lot of the wrong paths, is when we don't put that full trust in him and we want to do, you know, take care of ourselves, find security in other things. So
that's the daily bread that we all pray. Prayer, daily bread encompasses everything, not just the food. It's not literal. It's all encompassing.
Very good. Yes, it's everything we need for this life, and that God is not going to short us anything that we really need. Pastor Blankshane, how do you teach this in your various catechetical, your teaching opportunities? How do you teach the connection between the first commandment and the rest?
Well, I think, you know, what's been said by Our Lady here is pretty much what they've heard and learned, that if we do trust in God above all things, he will provide for us. And when we pray, you know, give us this day our daily bread, we pray that confidently that he does. So it's one of those commandments that seems easy. Don't steal anything. You know, don't take the Snickers bar. You got to pay for what you get. But there's so much more to it than that.
And it seems like that once we get in into our craws, into our heads, that we really need something, you know, like that Snickers bar, for instance, it that voice seems to get stronger and stronger and haunts us, that, you know, it's like, get out of my head. I don't want to think about a Snickers anymore. And then all of a sudden we end up doing weird things to even get a Snickers and other things too, as you were saying there, kind of leads us down the wrong paths.
But what we have to remember as Christians and Lutherans, it's His will. It's not our will. It's His will. Thy will be done.
Mm.
We might want that Snickers bar, but, you know, God doesn't want us to have that Snickers bar.
But I deserve not only a Snickers bar, but a whole bag of them.
Rod, when I think of daily bread, this is Mark speaking, and Pastor and Cheryl, you know, I can't but picture Adam and Eve in the garden, and when the first, you know, time the seventh commandment is broken, they reach out and take from a tree that's not theirs. You know, they steal. They mm-hmm. steal the fruit. But the worst part, you know, they take their own life. And this is where we're in deprivation. You know, we can't even see what the Ten Commandments mean no more in our hearts. You know, we don't. God puts it there so we can find the Ten Commandments right there on our heart, as Jeremiah 31 says very clearly in Hebrews and Romans. But we can't see the Ten Commandments, what they're supposed to be doing, and what the Seventh Commandment, you know, what's the action? You know, the Sixth Commandment, the Fifth Commandment, all come before the Seventh Commandment because of the fact that it's about life. You know, how we treat our neighbor, how we respect our neighbor, how we look at that robbed individual as Good Samaritans. You know, either we're lawlessness or full of law. You know, this is what the Ten Commandments, this is the addiction that we have from the Ten Commandments. And the Seventh Commandment, you know, there's none of us can escape it. But as Leviticus priests, you know, they go around that victim that has been robbed, left for death, and naked. And those are the pictures that I see in the Garden of Eden when our forefathers take what's not theirs.
Yeah, that's a strong, you know, explanation that you've given us there, Rusty, that I never really associated that here with the seventh. So thank you for that, that was not given to them to be their possession, wasn't it? The fruit from that tree. And they went ahead and stole that which was not given to them.
And God supplies everything that's needed. They have their daily bread, but they're not satisfied, right?
Grumble, grumble, grumble.
Yeah, and it's that, it seems like today in our world, insatiable drive and desire to once you're given something, to want even more or better or whatever. You're never satisfied. You know, I remember when I was a kid, and maybe I'm sure none of you were ever like this, but I would go to my dad, and I remember I was a tennis player when I was young, and I went to my dad and I said, "Dad, I'm never going to ask you for another thing. This is the only thing I'm going to ask for. I need this really good tennis racket. Dad, it's the last thing I'm ever going to ask for." And he's like, "Are you sure, Rod?" And I'm like, "Yes, I'm really sure." And then the day after I got it, I'm off to something else, you know? Not even, you know, thanking God for what he gave me. And it's, I think you were describing that. We're always, you know, lusting for more. And I know it keeps the advertising, you know, world going to try to tell us that what we need. But one of you is talking about, you know, thy will be done and give us this day our daily bread. We're back to this relationship in the first commandment, aren't we? That don't let anything be higher than your relationship with God, that you trust in Him to love you and take care of you and provide what we need. So, you know, Jesus summarized the second table, commandments 4-10, in this way. Love your neighbor as yourself. And I think one of you was hinting about that, and so this is really concerned not so much about yourself, but about your neighbor. Who is that neighbor that Luther's talking about here? We fear and love God so that we may not take our neighbor's money or property, nor get them with bad products or deals. So who is this neighbor?
Everyone is our neighbor, and we are here to serve our neighbor. So I think going back to the garden and the apple, I mean, it was Satan that's always there, crouching at every corner. He knows what our temptations are, whether it be a Snicker bar, an apple, money. Satan knows, so, and he's going to, by all means, try to tempt us with what he knows our weakness is. So, to quote Luther, I think it was, get behind me, Satan. And Jesus, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Luther probably picked that one up from our Lord.
Right, our Lord, yeah. But where we rightly set our heart towards God, I think, you know, we look and we see that all the commandments will point, you know, back to the first commandment.
Yeah, amen. And, you know, so it's kind of a matter of not even believing what God has to say, that we know better. You know, I don't trust God whether I'm going to get this Snickers today or not. I know that I need it, and I'm going to take it. And this other person doesn't need, or whatever this company is that's making these Snickers, they don't need my money. They've got plenty of money. Snickers is so famous, it won't hurt for this bar right here to be taken. I need it. Boy, that just obliterates God in the picture, doesn't it? It says, God, you really don't matter in this decision.
And along those lines, it's tax season. And
who brought that up?
It reminds me of just our government in general. We've got a pretty complex government and social system now. We're very, very socialized, and oftentimes I think we're tempted to cheat the government out of whatever we can,
mm-hmm.
thinking that, kind of justifying it, I guess, because there's no one person that's a target. But I think where it comes to taxes or social programs, we're often tempted to take more advantage of things than we really should.
Wow, that I'm glad you brought that up, because I have some strong feelings this tax season, but you know, to sit there,
Rod.
What's that?
Just pay him.
I know, I'm gonna, but you know, to sit there and you know that massive temptation. Now, I use a professional accountant who's also my financial consultant, and you know, he takes me at my word. When I tell him that there's a certain amount of things that I want to take as a deduction, he doesn't ask me for the proof usually, you know, except I think it's changed where, you know, used to be able to just put down an amount for the things you gave to nonprofit, you know, that count for that. But now you've got to list them. You know, I gave so much to this congregation, to the Missouri Synod, whatever. But, you know, the amounts, he doesn't want verification. He says, you've got to have that in case we get audited. And so there's that great temptation, isn't there, to just fib it a little bit. And I'm glad you brought that up, because I think you're suggesting that is an example of breaking of the seventh commandment when we do that.
Yeah, related to that is, and in reading in the Large Catechism, it really hits home when you realize that stealing also involves not what we're talking about with the Snickers bar, but also things that are more passive, such as, and especially in this day and age, we're stealing from our employer when we're on Facebook or, you know, surfing the web and shopping at Amazon when we should be working. And there's lots of ways that we, quote unquote, steal that we don't even really process in our mind that that's what we're doing, but we're not giving a full day's work for our wage, that type of thing.
Were you watching me on the internet yesterday?
I think we're all guilty.
You know, I was going to bring that up, and I'm so glad you did. Is it, you know, I always talk to the young people when I teach this commandment. Let's say you work at Burger King or McDonald's or one of those, which a lot of them would, and you get paid, you know, whatever, $8.50 an hour. And so you work for 50 minutes of every hour. In the last 10, you figure, I have earned my $8.50, and I'm just going to go have a Coke and kind of sit out this last 10. And you're suggesting, I believe, that that's an example of taking something that really isn't yours, getting it in a dishonest way.
Correct. But
I think you're right on, because, you know, the Bible speaks of using dishonest methods, dishonest standards to acquire compensation. And so that's forbidden. And so God wants an honest day's labor for an honest day's wage. So does that go both ways, not only the employee, but the employer, that would extract more out of the employee and not compensate them?
Oh, absolutely.
Wow, thanks for bringing that one up. I had it on mind because I think a lot of times we don't think about that. The casual time where we are, you know, doing other things that don't at all pertain to our job. And that good employee, let's, since we're talking about that, should Christians be good employees?
Well, we were talking from the Large Catechism, and Dr. Martin Luther, he makes it very clear, we're all guilty of it, you know, lazy employees and lazy employers, you know, and I like what Dr. Martin Luther says very clearly and succinctly. He says, when it comes to the seventh commandment, there's not even an executor or those who man the gallows. We're all guilty. There's not a single person in this universe that is not guilty of breaking the seventh commandment. I think of gambling, for an instance. It's not like gambling is a sin, but gambling is stealing. Hi, Mark, you say.
I think somebody, do you guys have secret cameras in here because you're seeing my notes? This is exactly what I had down. So thanks for bringing up that gambling, because I was just talking with some other pastors here today this week preparing for this, and I was asking them about this, and some of them said, I'm not sure it's the seventh commandment. It's certainly the ninth and the tenth, and I was debating with them. Because, if how would you define gambling?
Well, it's when that individual, and this is what the Ten Commandments do to us. It makes us addiction. You know, we're addicts, and so gambling becomes the sin of the seventh commandment. Is when the spouse, the husband or the wife, they go pull the slot machine, or they're at home on their video, you know, they're on their computer, and they stay up all night playing the computer, poker or whatever it might be, and then they go drag their lazy bum into work, you know, so they're stealing from their employee because now, you know, they didn't spend enough time resting. But you go to the casino, and they take an hourly, you know, retired folks are the worst ones, because they'll take their whole inheritance, they'll take it to the casino just to have a little more fun before the end comes. And so so they're stealing from their grandchildren. Or you could think of it this way, because the house always wins.
Yeah.
So they're stealing from the pastor. You know, they're stealing from the congregation, because that money that has been wasted at the casino could have been put in the offering plate. It could have been used in Haiti.
Well, you're saying so much good stuff, and we're coming to our first break. So I want to keep on this, and especially talk a little bit more about gambling. You said so many good things there, and let's unload that a little bit more. And then you also said some great stuff, which I hope somebody would, that it's not like somebody is the perfect Christian employee or the perfect Christian employer. It's not possible. As Luther, as you were quoting there for Luther, we are all professional stealers. We all break this seventh commandment, and we know what to do when we break the commandments and sin. We know where to take it to our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're about here on Concord Matters, to relate everything back to Jesus Christ and his cross for us. We're glad that you're with us today. Let's give you some phone numbers you can call in as we come back. 314-821-0850 in the St. Louis area, or if you have unlimited long distance. Toll free in North America, 800-730-2727, or you can email us at kfuo@kfuo.org. We've got a group from Emmanuel Lutheran Church, Pensacola, Florida, and they are giving us what we hoped they would give us. Great discussion on the seventh commandment. Please, you can join them. They would be excited to hear from you, as we would too. So when we come back from a quick break, call us or email us, and let's continue to talk about the love of God in our life. Stick with us. We'll be right back here on Concord Matters.
In the book of Proverbs, it says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson. The Bible says there's no other name given among men by which we must be saved. The name of Jesus is that strong tower that saves you. And music to consider that fact is going to be yours on Jubilation this Sunday from 1 to 4 p.m. right here on the Messenger of Good News Worldwide, KFUO.
This is By the Way. You know, one of the great messages of Lent is forgiveness. The Lord Jesus Christ, who went the way of the cross, promised that those who come humbly to Him, admitting their sins and seeking forgiveness, will be forgiven. We all need that. Try as we may, we can never live life in such a way that all our thoughts, words, and deeds are pure and spotless. What a sense of relief true forgiveness can bring. There may still be consequences for our wrongs, but in God's eyes, those wrongs are no longer held against us. The season of Lent is a good time to seek the Lord's forgiveness. We need to do that in all seasons, but there's no reason to delay. Seek God's forgiveness today. This is By the Way.
Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, inviting you to join us for Issues Etc. weekday afternoons from 3 to 5. Issues Etc. is a live call-in show with a twofold purpose. First, we defend and teach the truths rediscovered during the Reformation, grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. Second, we challenge today's postmodern culture with its unbiblical ideology.
Issues Etc. live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO Radio.
Worldwide KFUO salutes our day's sponsor on this Saturday, March 29th, 2014. Today's day sponsor is Ida Mae Kinder. Today's day sponsor has made a contribution to Worldwide KFUO in loving memory of her husband, Henry Kinder, who is now home with the Lord. Once again, we say thank you to Ida Mae Kinder of Golden Eagle, Illinois, today's Worldwide KFUO day sponsor. Worldwide KFUO salutes our day's sponsor on this Saturday, March 29th, 2014. Today's day sponsor is Ida Mae Kinder. Today's day sponsor has made a contribution to Worldwide KFUO in loving memory of her husband, Henry Kinder, who is now home with the Lord. Once again, we say thank you to Ida Mae Kinder of Golden Eagle, Illinois, today's Worldwide KFUO day sponsor.
Hi, I'm Al Roker. Let me tell you what's happening in your neck of the woods. Right now, 1 in 6 Americans don't know where their next meal is coming from. These are our neighbors, friends, our co-workers, but we can do something about it. Visit feedingamerica.org/hunger and find the local food bank in your community. I'm Al Roker, and together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Pastor Ted Lesh, pastor at Chapel of the Cross Lutheran Church in North St. Louis County, inviting you to listen to our KFUO radio worship broadcasts on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Active worship, preaching, music, and singing are part of every one of our services at Chapel. Join us Sunday nights at 6. It's one more broadcast worship opportunity for you from your friends at Chapel of the Cross and KFUO Radio.
Let Worldwide KFUO help you get the word out about your next church, school, or organization event. By including your event in the KFUO datebook, it will be announced on the air throughout the day. Send your event information via email to jennyw@kfuo.org. That's J-E-N-N-Y-W @kfuo.org. Or call 314-996-1515. Be sure to include date, time, location, and contact information. The KFUO datebook is a public service of listener-supported Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Welcome back to Concord Matters. I'm your host, Pastor Rod Zwanitzer, and we're having just a great time talking with some people at Emmanuel Lutheran Church, Pensacola, Florida, with their pastor, Pastor Randy Blankshain. Pastor, we didn't give you an opportunity at the beginning of the program, so let's do it now. Tell us some of the exciting things the Lord is doing there at Emmanuel Lutheran Church.
Well, I can throw it to the crew, too. We've got our confession study reading groups. We have our oatmeal breakfast, and I think I shared with you last time that most folks serve grits down here, but we serve oatmeal to the homeless. And we have about 100 folks every week, every Saturday morning, come in, and they get a chance to hear the gospel, too. This evening, the last Saturday of the month, we have our Pensacola Lutheran Blind Mission, another outreach to our community. We're really a church that focuses on how we can serve our community with works of mercy and proclaim the gospel rightly preached and rightly administered in the sacraments. And our youth are very involved in the Higher Things program. We're able to attend every year, and we'll be going this year to the one in Gainesville. So,
isn't that a wonderful organization for our young people? I just thank God for Higher Things. Yeah. Well, it sounds like that you guys are right in there with the three-part vision of President Matt Harrison for the Synod: witness, mercy, life together. I hear a lot what you're doing there, so that's just absolutely wonderful. You can join these people from Pensacola, Florida, as we discuss the Seventh Commandment today. 314-821-0850, 800-730-2727, or by email, KFUO@KFUO.org. We were talking really some good stuff, and I'm glad somebody brought up gambling. And they talked about it being an addiction. I wanted to talk a little bit about not only an addiction, which can be terrible, and we even see tragic things happen, even with church workers. And we don't want to go into those stories. But what I wanted to maybe go into a little bit with gambling is, if we are participating in gambling and letting these other people who really can't afford to take their money and place it on, bets, because, a definition of gambling is entering into a game of chance, of probability, with some amount of money, with the hopes of getting a bunch more money from somebody else's money without us ever doing anything other than taking the risk. And to me, that clearly would be a dishonest way of getting money. What are your thoughts here about that?
Rod, this is Cindy Myers. Part of it goes to the being good stewards with the gifts that we have all been blessed with, whether that be money, house, home, wife, children, just being good stewards with what we have. Again, Satan's always going to tempt us with what he knows is our weakest point, whether it be gambling. But getting we live so close to Biloxi here that in Atmore we have some casinos within driving distance. So quite a lure for many folks.
Now you mentioned the word steward a couple of times, and we throw that around in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, stewardship boards and stewardship events. What's a steward for those people that might not know that word?
All of us. Being a good steward is managing.
There you go. It's a manager. So it's something that's been entrusted to us that we really don't own. So who owns it? And we're just stewards of it.
God.
There you go. So we need to be good stewards. We have a good steward on the line here. She's an avid listener of Worldwide KFUO from Indianapolis. Cheryl, good morning. Welcome to Concord Matters.
Thank you for taking my call. I was looking in the Large Catechism, and Matthew 5:42 comes up, and that to me seems to be just the opposite of gambling. Jesus says, give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. And it's a sort of reckless generosity for the benefit of the neighbor. And when your hope is placed in Christ, that is the direction that you look to
trying to advance and improve the possessions of your neighbor, and that hope in Christ, that brings people together in the name of Christ, and that is just seems to be the opposite. Jesus is pushing us in the opposite direction of what we would normally want to go.
Yeah, yeah, that's more on the positive side of the seventh commandment. So thanks for listening there, and Cheryl, thanks for the comment. We have a big task in all of our life together as stewards of the great things that are given to us by God. And, one of the things that I think our world sometimes doesn't think about is the arts. And by that, I'm talking about those that have ability to paint, to draw, those kind of things, to do beautiful music. And I know it's a problem in our electronic age that a lot of times we can steal very easily from somebody that's making their living by this and not pay for it. And I've talked to people, that say, well, I can copy this DVD, what does it usually say at the beginning of every one of them? FBI seal up there, and I know the warning there is primarily for people that are doing it commercially, but, and that's what people say. Hey, I'm not doing it to make a living. I just want to give a copy here to my good friend Kip Allen, who's my engineer today. He likes this movie, and I don't pay him a lot here at KFUO, so I want to give it to him. He's shaking his head. that is taking advantage of somebody that makes their living off of sales of that DVD or that movie, isn't it?
You're hitting close to home. I'm a professional photographer, and I was going to mention it before, and I didn't want to bring it up, but it's definitely a problem, and people do it with, images. I find my images that are inappropriately used and things like that, but people will do it with music downloads and, as you said, movies and things like that. But that is definitely, it is stealing, and thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, and I think it is so easy anymore with the technology we have, isn't it?
It sure is.
And we get kind of callous because, it's like when we were kids. My dad would say, why are you doing that, Rod? And I say, all the other kids are doing it, And so everybody else is doing it. I don't have that much guilt, but we're back to First Commandment stuff. God's watching, and he's looking at it.
I think to anyone who might be listening out there, I hope they realize that we're not sitting around this table thinking that we're all so pious and wonderful, and we don't gamble, and we don't steal. And I mean, we all do these things, but that's the
speak for yourself out there, no?
Yeah, well, we just need to,
We're all in this together. Cheryl brought up something very good. We in all of the commandments, I believe, Luther does how we can break them and how we can keep them. Let's jump to the keep side. It's the last part of his explanation. But we help our neighbor to improve and protect his property and business. Let's go on the positive side of this seventh commandment for a while, if we can. Anybody got some thoughts on how we can improve and protect the property, business, possessions of our neighbor?
Rod, how do we get there? I was in Southern Florida for a while, and a congregation that has the Lord's Supper every Sunday, I couldn't believe it. I mean, I come from a conservative area, and to expect, this was the most liberal place you could imagine, but to come to Pensacola and find the Lord's Supper every Sunday, it's kind of a rarity too, but it's there. And the only way that I can serve my neighbor and take care of my neighbor and be obedient to God and not let the Ten Commandments kill me and leave me in a worse condition than what I already am, it's because my pastor is the hand of God who ministers the body and blood of Jesus into my mouth, into my ear. Now I am cleansed. My baptism is fully activated. I am baptized into Christ. Now I can serve my neighbor.
That's fantastic.
Don't steal any photos. Don't steal any DVDs. Don't waste your money at the casino. Don't buy the lottery ticket. But there's one thing that really bugs me is when the church acts as capitalists. You know what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 21? My Father's house is to be a house of prayer. but you've turned it into a den of thieves. Mm. What does this mean? Well, this periodical that comes up quarterly that's to take care of our, you know, our well-being, our financial needs, they'll have pictures of little children, a family, a mom and dad and three little children, and then the one before this one is baby feet. As a Christian, I'm obligated to tell the truth. Did you steal, Mark? Yes, I did. I'm guilty. You know, have mercy on me. If somebody says, Mark, are you for abortion? I'll say, no, I'm not for abortion because I have grandchildren. I have children. And to steal somebody's life, that's the worst.
You know, yeah.
Christ being crucified, right?
Yeah. Wonderful stuff, Mark.
Have mercy.
Yes, because I love where you started. That we can only begin to war and battle against this urge to steal because of Christ's victory over sin, death, and devil for us and keeping all these Ten Commandments for us. So that's the motivation. That's the engine. That's the fuel that we can go and try to protect and improve our neighbor's possessions, his property, his business. Thank you so much for that. So I'm sure that Pastor Blankshain, he doesn't have a lot of sermons on gambling or the seventh commandment, how we break them and how we can avoid that. He's preaching primarily a lot on we always break them now, what do we do with them? And you know, the sanctified life is living in that blood of Jesus, you know, and then taking that love out to the world. Thank you so much for that.
And what Luther says is that whoever now seeks and desires good works will find here more than enough to do that are heartily acceptable and pleasing to God. And then in addition, they are favored and crowned with excellent blessings. So we are to be richly compensated for all that we do for our neighbor's good and from friendship. The good old saying, what goes around comes around.
Amen.
Yeah.
Sin for sin.
Yeah. You know, let me post something that has always bothered me, especially as a pastor, and I don't know if Pastor Blankshain encounters this the way that I did. But I came in contact with a lot of people. There's a lot of names for them, street people, those kind of things. And I learned really well that these people are some of the best con artists in the world. And, as a pastor, I would have access to a charity fund that in some cases was very large. And I was very serious about giving that stuff away rather than hoarding it, you know. But I also had a conscience about if I knew that this person was going to go and hurt themselves even more, I would not want to give them cash. Here's the point I'm driving at. I'd have a person that would say, look, I'm starving. I hadn't had a meal in 7 days. I need some food. And I'm like, well, this is your blessed day because our ladies group is downstairs preparing a wonderful meal. I'm sure you can smell it. And I'd take down there and give them a heaping plate and they'd start swearing at me. Or, you know, I need some gas. And I'd say, let's go to the station and I'll fill it up. No, they'd cuss at me too. So should we just be people that don't care? Because I'm looking here in the small catechism with explanation where they, this isn't what Luther would write, but it is an example of forbidding robbery, theft, and dishonest way of getting things. St. Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians 3, if a person will not work, he shall not eat. So if a person doesn't want a job, should we give them handouts for food? If they're lazy, able to work, there's a job there for them, they don't want to do it, should we continue to pour out handouts to them?
Well, that's part of being a good steward. You give people a hand up, not a hand out. And as you were saying, if somebody tells you they're hungry, provide them with food. Don't just give them money, because you have to be a good steward of the money that you have. And you have to be a good steward of the resources that you have. You're not helping that person. You're not helping your neighbor. You're not really loving your neighbor if you're going to give them something that will feed their addiction.
You know, I'm going to try to make this connection, and maybe Pastor Blankshain can jump in on this one. I think it was said by Mark that you know, when he gives out the body and blood of Jesus there in the Lord's Supper, he is regarded in the Scripture as being a steward of those mysteries, those sacraments. And so is he a good steward when he just, you know, doesn't care who he gives this precious body and blood to, even when the Bible says that there are people you could give it to, that it would be harming them. So, you know, I like where you're going with that. And what are your thoughts, Pastor Blanksheen, on that, about being good stewards of the sacraments and the word, and being good stewards of the wonderful riches and gifts and possessions that God has given to us?
Yeah, and when we talk about stewardship, we really have focused a lot on our management. But I think when we talk about stewardship, we mainly need to focus on what has been given us to manage and who's the giver in the first place. And that gets us back to God, His command, His promise, His authority, and what did He say, in your example, especially about the sacrament. I think in stealing also, we think about what does He say about how we manage our property, how we pay for our mortgages, how we earn our income and things like this, and how we manage that. And that's where all of this other talk about gambling comes in. So yeah, stewardship, definitely. Manage the resources, manage the things, but you also have to finish the sentence and say that God has given you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's that direction there, is it not, Pastor, of God down to us, not us up to God. So, you know, when you remember that direction, you go, oh my goodness, this has been entrusted to me. I'm going to have to answer for this. And so I should think about that. I think you're suggesting that God has given us this. How shall we treat it?
We got a comment from Gary.
We were talking about the sacrament. And the stewardship of it and everything. Of course, not always just the pastor himself, but the pastor and the church. Again, this is something that they are stewards of, and they should put it to the best use, and that's using it often, Jesus said.
I love that. And so often, it doesn't mean only four times a year or something like that. I've heard that before. I was at talking to some people that said that their pastor only did it four times a year because Luther, in the preface to the Small Catechism, says that. If you're a Christian, you only have to take it four times a year. Well, I showed him the preface, and Luther never said that at all. He said he considers a person that does not take the sacrament at least four times a year to not be a Christian, which would appear pretty harsh in our day. But, you know, Luther's got a point there, and I thank you for that, Gary. That God wants to give us this rich gift of forgiveness of our sins, strengthening of our faith, uniting of us in that Lord's Supper. And so how often do we need that? I'd love to have it every day. But every day when we meet around Word and Sacrament, that is great. Pastor was taking us to this point of stewardship. And that these possessions, income we have, are not really ours. How can we, with that understanding, put that into action for the Lord and the growth of His kingdom?
Well, when I was talking about the sacrament and being good stewards of it and having it available, appropriate. Using it, letting the people have it. I'm talking about every Lord's Day and every feast day, and we can look back and be backed up in that by looking into the Book of Concord.
Oh, sure, they firmly state that, don't they?
Yep.
Yeah, very very good. So, the people receiving that much from our Lord, then what would be the impact on their lives to the world and to their neighbors?
This is Lindsay.
Well, I'm in catechism right now, and Pastor teaches it every Wednesday night. And what we learn in the catechesis is we take a two-year course on how to take the Lord's Supper, and we learn a lot about the faith. And so if a it's a high privilege because we get to learn about the faith. And a lot of people neglect and don't come to the Lord's Supper, but we have the privilege of having it every Sunday. So it is a privilege for us to have it every Sunday whenever we can.
Boy, that's great, Lindsay. And you should be thanking God, as I'm sure you do, for such a faithful servant of the Word that your pastor sounds like he is.
Can I interject what Lindsay was saying? I have 7 granddaughters. And to hear what she has to say, you know, she's an example of what Lutheranism is to be. You know, that the Ten Commandments leave you high and dry. You're hung. You know, it's the sharp scalpel that just opens up your flesh, and now what happens? You know, you're dead. There's nothing you can do. But as Lindsay was saying, I mean, I just hear her pouring it out of her pores, is that God administers that healing ointment. He pours on the wine and the oil that cleanses you so that now you can serve your neighbor. Without that examination with the Ten Commandments of cutting us so deeply and so wide and so broad, that gospel, that sweetness of for you. I mean, I can remember in seminary that they taught us a little rule. There are 6 things when we're looking at the Ten Commandments, is how does God reveal the Ten Commandments to us? Well, he puts it on your heart so you don't lose it. And then when it comes to the gospel, you know, the Ten Commandments are always there gnawing at you. And this is confirmation. And I say to my granddaughters, you know, what is the second commandment? And they'll tell me, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then they'll stare at me and they'll say, Grandpa, say your part now. And I'll say, Amen. It's true. No, I got it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we're running out of time, and I hope you've enjoyed this as much as I have, and I know that our listener has. I was just going to tell you about one quick example in the little congregation that my wife and I are privileged to be in. We lost a member not too long ago who I remember the first time I went to this church, he told me, you know, I'm married, but my wife's Roman Catholic, so she doesn't come here. Well, the Lord called this guy home, and guess what? Our people continue to call on this widow, and she's amazed, and my wife is one of those. And my wife was stunned because she was sharing that her church and her priest never come and see her. And she's amazed that these Lutherans do. And she even said, you know, and you're not coming saying now that your husband is gone, you ought to really come and be a Lutheran. They're just there to care for her and love her. And that's what you're expressing, that we bodied and blooded to eternal life in Jesus Christ. That's what we need to be, is, as Luther says, little Christ out to the world. And I know you people there in Pensacola with your oatmeal and your strong teaching of your people, you've become. So to all of you, thanks for being our guest today. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Would you do it again?
Sure.
Absolutely.
Would you recommend it to other confessional reading groups?
Yeah.
You know, it's been my extreme pleasure, and you guys were so good. So I'm going to ask you back one of these days. Some of the other hosts of Concord Matters try to have you on, say no. We are tightly connected to Pastor Zwanitzer, and we won't do it with somebody else. So thank you so much. The Lord bless and His peace go with you this Lenten season.
Amen.
Join us next week when we'll do the same thing, the 8th commandment, with Pastor Craig D'Onofrio here on Concord Matters.